Welcome to the Penny Bloom Podcast. Ain't another place that has got more bombast. Romp past your mom, dad's listening to Tomcast. Talking everything that make you sad. We don't want that. We're here to make you smile. Put your mind at ease. Peace, love, and bloom, and always praise Keanu Reeves. This what we about. Get some weed and now. We'll talk until we can't no more, and then we peacing out. Alright, let's go. Penny Bloom Podcast. It's the Penny Bloom Podcast. Penny Bloom Podcast. It's the Penny Bloom Podcast. Penny Bloom Podcast. Penny Bloom Podcast.
Hello, everybody, and welcome in to the Penny Bloom Podcast. Today, we continue Rebellion's Bloom, our coverage of the third and final season of The Bad Batch. And this week is season 3, episode 9, titled Harbinger. I'm Colton Robertson. I'm joined by Joseph George. What's up, homie?
Oh, what up, what up? Always a pleasure to be here.
Oh, and it's always a pleasure to have you. And we got another goodie. We got another goodie under our belt. Very important one, it felt like. You know, some big things happening. Big face returning. Nice to... Just a classic feeling here for Star Wars. I don't know. There's something about it that I feel like I'm just like, oh, this is one of my favorite Star Wars things, you know?
The trope of just the Jedi training, you know, just to see anyone.
That's why I got right here. That's why I got The Last Jedi here, because it's my favorite training sequence in the entire saga.
Oh, dude, no, it's just, it's so nice. I'm always one to want to try to meditate and like everything afterwards. And I've never committed. But this morning I was up early and I was like, you know what? I have no idea how to even do this or how to go about it. I'm just going to sit. I'm going to dedicate 10 minutes. Just, you know, I've never done it before. I'm just going to do it in my own way, how I think it could be done. And then I'm going to look and do research and see how wrong I am eventually. But I don't know. It was nice just to just not have anything at all for 10 minutes. And it was because of this episode that kind of, I don't know, pushed me to go there. You know, Asajj, you know, just being, you know, just the classic Jedi trope of, you know, Omega being impatient and being like, oh, what's the point of all of this? This is all dumb, or like, you know, and but she, I don't know, she had still a good humbleness to her still. I thought they balanced it really well with Omega.
It's always interesting to see the reception of the tenants and the trainings by the trainee, you know, because I agree, they do maintain a certain humbleness about her, but I do think it's like, it's almost self-deprecating, like, it's not me, you know, like I want it to be, sure, but it's not, it can't be, it's just not what I'm made for, da, 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 da. And I feel like that comes through to a degree with Omega there, and I really loved it. I thought that the music was beautiful again. The return of Asajj Ventress was extremely fulfilling.
Yeah, a little bit of, I don't know, she was toying with them there, man. She was man, in this choreography, like, whoa, was it actually just really good? Like, I'm really surprised by the fights this season, specifically whoever Shadow Clone Trooper is versus Crosshair on the waterfall. That fight was really, really awesome. And then this one, you know.
I feel like we just don't get, it's because we're getting hand-to-hand combat, which I don't think we get a lot of beyond this.
This felt, I don't know, felt, they choreographed this in real life. Like, this was, they had real people go through these motions and sort of work it. I don't know, because it felt just sort of Maul and Ahsoka, Clone Wars Season 7-esque, of, like, whenever they did the mocap and everything, and, like, they kind of blended the real with animation. And, like, I kind of got that same feeling a little bit of, like, how smooth it was at some points where, like, it was clearly not real in animation, like Asajj just doing Asajj things. But then, like, some movements where it just, I don't know, it felt like they choreographed it all and might have been mo-capping, I don't know. But maybe that's just good animation is.
You know, and I don't know how the technology's evolved in the few years since the Clone Wars season 7. But even that, it's hardly a blend of mocap. Mocap ended up being the inspiration for what they animated. Mm. They didn't really end up using a whole lot
that
of it.
That makes sense.
But I agree with the idea of like mapping out the fight. And I mean, because that's important to see, you know, like it's not like I have faith that the animators are fully capable of mapping out a fight if they need to. But like, I got to imagine it is easier if you see the fight unfold the way you want it choreographed, and then you can kind of mock that to a degree.
I guess it could have just been a literal, just couple people like filming on a cell phone just to get, I don't know. I guess it might not have been anything grand or
no, but I mean, like, that's the thing though, is that like, that's how it feels, is that it feels so real, but so elevated. And that's the advantage that animation gives you, you know, like you do get to do crazy things that can't happen in real life and make them look smooth and real because it's not real, you know. It's animated, and I think this is one of those episodes that really, really pays dividends because it's animated, you know. We got similar moments. Like, I think a good comparison for this episode for the live action versus animation debate is like the Ahsoka series. Like, we literally get a moment in this that we get in the Ahsoka series with a giant fucking Purrgil. And that moment was good in Ahsoka, and you know, like it's epic, it's cool. One of my favorite moments of that show, really. But this is a really good example of how much better a moment like that can look. You know, like I thought that like I loved that moment, but it wasn't because it was good looking. It was like in spite of the fact that it looked like that. You know,
And yeah, this show just looks it. Every episode, I'm just taken back. I'm just like I start it, and I just don't know why. I don't expect it to be like as good as it is now, but I'm just like, God damn, how do they make this look so good every time? And
dude, the shot of Asajj like reaching out and touching the giant fucking kaiju.
I love just we're crap. Getting creatures, you know, just they don't give a fuck anymore. They're just like, we're in Star Wars. It doesn't matter. There's so many planets. Anything can exist. And you know, I'm focusing on more of like the Empire's got something going on with these creatures, and I'm thinking it's like a story element. It might just be just like fuck it, monster to make you know cool conflict. And that might just be it. But I don't know. I still don't think we're done there. I think them just appearing is I don't know. Maybe the green ooze got me interested. You know, like the fish were kind of glowing with the green ooze, but then it had its it obviously was eating it as well. But then what was it like? Do we see where like the source of that would have been, or was that just the fish? Maybe was that just the idea that the fish, like, is it toxic, or was it just that the thing?
Well, I don't know that it's toxic, but it's definitely
radiated. Like it, right? Yeah, yeah, I don't know. It didn't seem natural, at least. But those fish, at least, were, I don't know. It might just be that those fish glow, and that's what it looks like when you eat those fish.
But, yeah, I'm like, because it's on Pabu.
Yeah, true.
I have less faith that it's an Empire thing going on.
Damn, Asajj just found Pabu straight up. She said she has her ways. I don't know. Could she feel Omega through the Force? And she just knows, you know, like she knew, but I guess in my head, the ending of this episode leads me to believe that Asajj knows that Omega has potential. She is telling Omega no to decrease the you know, to try to make her not believe that she has potential to decrease the target on her back. So am I reading that right? Because
I think it's part of it. I think that's part of it. I think the other part of it is that she, like what she tells Crosshair and Hunter immediately after is like,
that's why. Yeah. It's like Omega, like, she says, no, you know, whatever. Like it's, you know, you didn't really like, you don't have a high M count, whatever, at least what I see. But then when Omega's gone, it's like, you're in way more danger than you think. Like, she is clearly
important.
Right. No, but I'm saying that I think the reason she doesn't tell Omega is A, to not scare her, and to B, not tell her that if she wants to explore it, she has to abandon the only family she knows.
Dude, that's also, yeah, I guess that's a huge part of it. Yeah. Ooh.
I think that that's the most important
part. Oh, man. Yeah, because Hunter, they're like, well, that's not happening.
Yeah.
They're like, obviously, but like.
It's not up to them. It's kind of what it's going to end up being.
Dude, it's that. I think that's what identity crisis might be, is like Omega having to decide if she wants to stay. Maybe, you know. And is it truly that way? Does it have to be that way? You know, do you have to leave completely everything in order to train
a tactical choice? I don't think you have to.
It just is faster. It's faster.
And also, this is not a time to be training as a Jedi. We're in the early ages of the Empire. They hunt Jedi. And if you have a bunch of enemies of the Empire all in one place with a bunch of clones that are very standout, mm-hmm. that everyone mm-hmm. recognizes as soon as they come into the place, it's just not ideal to have them around if you want something private.
I see.
That's kind of how I look at it.
Yeah. Ooh. Okay. Wow. Man, yeah, no, I thought we'd get a little more to go on a, like, Asajj, just how she came to be, you know, or like, just her in-betweens of what we've gotten for her. But I actually kind of like how it's just kind of, I don't know, yeah, we don't know yet. Maybe we will, who knows, but,
Yeah, I don't anticipate her showing up again, except for, like, maybe once to take Omega away.
Is that the end?
Yeah, I'm like that. They set up the ending of this show better than they ever have before with this episode and those specific lines where she's like, she will have to leave you behind and that will be it, you know?
How have I not even thought of this as like an ending of the show? It's like, and maybe it's not the end. Maybe we do get like a Grogu sort of thing.
Yeah, maybe that is
say goodbye, but then, you know, it's like a quick like, holy shit, no. Like she goes off for a little bit, but she's like, it feels right, but it's not. Like, I don't know. It feels right, but not quite yet. Or yeah, I don't.
Well, the other thing for me is that it's strange to me that Asajj is like, she must, I don't think she would train her herself. I don't know, maybe she would, but I'm just like, it just doesn't seem bright to be training Jedi at this time or training people in the Force. I feel like that's, maybe it is safe to train people in the Force, just not as Jedi. Like, maybe that is why Asajj is the perfect candidate.
Cause like, the Jedi, like, I always kind of forget that, like, it's not Jedi and Sith. You know, it's light and dark, really. Like, the Jedi and the Sith are, like, cults.
Factions.
Or not cult. The Sith is a cult. Jedi is a cult. They're cults of the
religion.
Force.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, or whatever. Like, they are sects of the Force, not total
Force
representations
itself.
Of it. Yeah. So, but it's just we use the term kind of Jedi as an overarching good light side force user. And like it does obviously like, yes, the Empire wants to do anything they can to eradicate the Jedi or any light side force user. But like if you're going to go through all the trouble, you know, we know the path exists and it will exist. I guess no, it does by now. If you're going to go through all that trouble, you know, of hiding people, I guess maybe part of hiding is not tapping into the Force. I don't know. Maybe that is part of hiding. That is just
crucial.
I'm like,
that, because the Inquisitors are about. The Inquisitors look for people who use the Force, regardless
of
affiliation.
Asajj sees
I think that's why she says you're in more danger than you know, is like she has the potential. She's going to want to pursue this. She's going to want to train, and all that will do. She already has the target on her back, and Asajj knows that. And it's like, holy shit, you're going to have Inquisitors coming at you. Know, you're going, it might not be, we just want your blood now. It might be, we want to kill you, you know, now. It's, I don't know.
I'm assuming Inquisitors are about by now.
I don't know. Is there ambiguity between why, you know, I guess there still always has been, why Omega is the one to work, you know, why her blood works specifically. Mm-hmm. You know, Asajj saying, you know, you don't really show that much potential. You do, but like, is her M count high? Is that the only thing that really is mattering here? You know, I hope we get an explanation for that. It seems that it's a pretty crucial part of the story.
No, I'm assuming we will. I think that they purposefully, obviously, lie about what her deal is. Like, they purposefully make it so that you are not sure whether or not she has a high M count, because Crosshair goes, "You're lying." And she goes, "What about?" And Hunter's like, "I don't know. You tell us." Like, they're not even specifically about the M count thing. They're just kind of like, "I don't know. You're lying about something." You know?
That's true. So, and Asajj even said it herself. She was like, "Well, Kaminoan's made millions of you. I guess it's like possible." You know, she's like, "I guess it could just be a numbers thing." Omega just seems too specific, you know, and maybe that's because she was that one in a million, and the Kaminoans knew that, and they just tested, and they're like, "Okay, well, your M count's crazy." And
I'm imagining,
you know,
that's
whatever,
something
but
they would have been able to track while they're in their like incubation chamber too, which is
So do you think it was just like something that they do just keep track of, and they're like, "Whoa, you're off the charts. We'll keep track of you," or was it like pre-planned, like before Omega's creation? They're like, "We are specifically gearing towards this."
To be honest, I don't think we'll. I mean,
because Nala says she's still alive.
Yeah, yeah.
We didn't have. We still no check in with Hemlock again at Tantus, which was interesting. No, you know, and I don't think her future's very bright. You know, she's definitely Hemlock's prisoner, and I'm assuming we will see her die.
Yeah,
this season.
we're gonna see her killed.
Damn, is that the last Kaminoan? Like, she's actually the last?
I mean, there's no real telling. It's a big galaxy. Oh. They weren't all on Kamino when it happened.
Yeah,
you know, like,
true. I guess that was just one. Well, that was the only.
That
was
just
Kamino. A major city on Kamino, or was that just all of Kamino? Like, that was
the
only base.
City, so I'm imagining there's more to Kamino, but regardless, you know, like, it's just it's a big
cloning
galaxy.
Facility, I guess.
Yeah.
As Dunzo, but wow.
Also, literally, their bag is creating more of them.
Yeah, that's their main export. I get the weird way to think about it, but like
that's their main trade. When it comes to the origins of Omega, I imagine we'll get a little light shined on whether or not she was intentional or not. But I mean, either way. I mean, what does that, we've always wondered that, but knowing that, what does it do?
Yeah.
What does it change, really? You know, like, it doesn't change much. Regardless, either way, Nalase looked after her, Nalase tried to protect her, whether that was because she was intentional or they happened upon it. Either way,
I guess it's
protecting her.
How it applies to the Empire is what is where my mind's trying to go, is like, whether it was in the plan to create Force-sensitive clones, you know, was seen to be impossible, but they have seemed to have cracked that code. Maybe they got lucky. Maybe that was just it. But I don't know. I think Asajj, like, she says that. She was like, "I've never known there to be Force-sensitive clones. You know, that's just not a thing." And I think she was insane that, like, the way she said it, she was like, "And clearly I'm wrong." Like, clearly, here's one right here. Like, she's kind of, I don't know. Was that just to the batch? Was that after Omega left that she says that? That she says, "I've never known there
no,
to be
Omega's
four sensitive clones."
Right there.
Okay. Because I kind of remembered her saying it kind of like I've never known there to be Force-sensitive clones, you know, but, like...
I took it more inquisitively, like, I'm going to look into this. I've never known there to be Force-sensitive
clones. That's, yeah, like, she's very intrigued, at least. Like, at minimum, she's like, there is something going on here.
It's for a friend.
And she, like, she was sent by Fennec, right? Yeah. Fennec is the one who sent her here. Fennec is the one who Nala Say, you know, like, I don't know. Maybe there is something that is unknown that Fennec, Asajj, and Nala Say know that we don't quite yet know for whatever reason. I don't know what that could be. Maybe
I think Asajj would be out of that loop. I imagine Fennec would be out of that loop too. I think that these are cards that Nala Say would keep pretty close to the vest.
Okay.
It seemed like she literally only even told one other Kaminoan, and it was the Prime Minister, like the fucking head honcho of the Kaminoans, you know, like,
Yeah. Okay. Harbinger. The bringer of truth, the bringer, you know, it's Asajj here. You know, I think that's, it was, I don't know, but I loved her new look.
I did too. Good look.
New look. Same hilt. Is this?
Yeah,
you know,
just
one.
Like
one now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, can't really remember what might have happened to the other one. I know that
could be sick if Quinlan just got the other one. Maybe Quinlan lost his somehow, and it's like, oh, I'll give you my other one, and where I don't know. But I have no idea how their story goes. I'm just trying. And again, I'm taking Quinlan to be like a surefire thing in here. But I mean, he was name dropped.
I haven't
right?
read. He was name dropped in Obi-Wan Kenobi. Yeah.
For the path specifically.
Again, right? Unclear if it was just like Kinlan passed through the path.
Ah. Okay.
Or helped
That's
create
right.
the path.
I need to watch Obi-Wan.
Assuming
again.
Since he was force sensitive and everybody we see working with the path is not probably passed through it. Maybe could have helped found it, but I don't think he actively searches for. I don't think Force Sensitives actively search for people to send through the path. Maybe they do at this time. Who knows? To get it up and running, and then eventually it becomes too dangerous, et cetera, et cetera. But it's a. I've never read Dark Disciple. I'm probably going to now as soon as possible. Don't know how much Dark Disciple. How much it heeds that, if that's before or after this. I think it would be set after. I think this would be set after that, and Asajj dies in that book. So, you know, when she says, like, I've still got a few lives left, I'm pretty sure that's the only thing they tried to do to make it seem like she's died before and now she's back to life and she'll
I've die got again. Many lives left, or mm-hmm. yeah, that was pretty cool. I'm hoping they dive into that. I think that was a line to kind of be like, we'll come back to that. You know, like, don't worry, we'll answer your questions on how where Asajj, and I don't know. I would very much like to.
I don't think so.
Oh man, I don't know. Really? Like, you think it's just for that one episode?
I think it's a way to justify to people who have read the book why she's still here, and even that is a brush by explanation. So, like, I mean, I could see there being more Asajj Ventress content somewhere else, but I don't think it'll be in the Bad Batch.
Really, I don't know. I don't think she's quite
done. We
just don't
have much time left.
I think her knowing where Tantus is, it frightens me a whole lot. It really, really scares me that she knows where Tantus is.
Does she?
Pabu. That she knows where. I really hope that it's not used as leverage, you know, or like it slips. I don't know. She's smart. She knows. I don't think she's just gonna go behind their back and be like,
here's their secret
haven. But like, it's out there now. Like,
yeah, I think this makes it clear that Pabu's not well hidden. Like, it's secluded, yes, but
how did she find them? What are her ways? You know, I think at the end of last episode, Fennec had like a tracker on them or something. Like, she said, like, I don't know. I'm pretty, like, she was with Hunter and Wrecker for a whole mission. So who's to say she didn't put a little thing in their helmet or, you know, whatever. I think she did say something about a tracker to Asajj or whoever, you know, on the ship whenever she's talking to, we don't know at the time, but Asajj and...
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. But I don't think that we'll... I don't think we'll get an explanation as to how she found them. I think we'll just see someone else find Pabu, and it'll.
Do you think no more Asajj? Really, no more Asajj? Until you think, like, if she does return, it's like to take Omega. She's kind of the ush, like maybe not the one to do her training, but maybe
coming back and helping. But I don't see us. A lot of the stuff we're discussing here would not come about naturally. It would be exposition heavy, and it's just not something they do, you know, like,
I feel like Asajj, I feel like something might happen to where Asajj is looking out for her, and she gives some information in which she feels is safe enough to reveal that will benefit her a lot, and, but it'll actually put the batch in a little bit of danger. She feels bad. She, you know, maybe like Cad Bane is after them now. And that, you know, we still have Cad Bane left. So, you know, he's popping up somewhere. Maybe she comes in and she helps deal with Cad Bane with him. You know, it's at the last moment or something, I don't know, of the sort. I feel like she, I don't know. I just, that little send off with her didn't feel like it, like we were done with her for the season to me. Felt like there was a little bit more.
I invite it. I just, I mean, like I said, I don't even know what that would be. I don't know to the extent that we would stick with her. I'm like, if she's in more episodes, I'm not going much more. Like,
yeah, I guess it would just be like a one moment sort of thing. It wouldn't be anything big. No fee. I wanted, we were on Pabu. You know, like where, I guess, I don't know. She's out doing stuff maybe. But come on, give me feet. Dang it. I need more feet. Hey, yeah. What we're on episode 8, 9.
Nine.
God.
Yeah, we only got 6 left. 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15. Yeah.
You know, we do got the double feature next week, you know, so we will have double the content. So I'll be doubly expecting fee. It seems that we're staying on Pabu now and we still don't really know where Tantus is. Echo is still.
I mean, I think they'll heed Asajj's warning, though. They're going to get the fuck out of there. You know, she does say you can't stay here. You got to go. You know,
fuck. Is Pabu, dude, is it only in danger because Omega is there? Maybe. Maybe that's.
I mean, there's.
I don't know.
The Empire is not shy about destroying things that are important to certain characters, so like I could see them being in trouble, but I mean, I also I don't know, man, it would suck.
What's the green ooze with the monster? Like, why include that? I feel like was it just to give it more world building, you know, just to whatever?
I just kind of took it in stride. I didn't take that as a thing,
because like I was trying, like I'm like I thought I remembered something later in the episode, but then I realized no, it was in episode 3 of X-Men 97. There's this green ooze, toxic ooze, like a Count Dracula sort of character that uses green ooze to, I don't know, as his science juice, Sinister or something, like, I don't know, something like that, Mr. Sinister. But yeah, and then I'm like, okay, no, yeah, not Star Wars whatsoever. But yeah, so I don't know. Maybe it is just to give the monster something else.
I think it was to just give it another look, you know. But because there's a chance it's not even like the green fishies were glowing.
Mm-hmm.
It eats those fish, and now it has that green stuff on its mouth. You know, like because it was on its mouth. So I'm like, that's kind of as far as I go with it. I'm not even, because again, it is Pabu. I think that if the Empire has already been here, it'd be a different fucking story, you know? I think that at least the people of Pabu would be aware of that.
You know, wasn't it in the Death Star, like the first one, they had like just a giant Kyber crystal? Was that a Rebels or a Clone Wars arc? No, I guess it couldn't be. Rebels, or maybe it wasn't Rebels. No, I don't know. There was like a huge Kyber. No, it blew up. It never actually got there. But I guess they needed it.
That's how the Death Star is.
They needed it. It was, I guess, like, but is it one in there?
No, I think it's a bunch of Kyber crystals.
Like, they just got,
like, they mine Kyber crystals. It's not that.
Because I remember that thing was a chonker. It was not a one that they put in a lightsaber hill. That thing took up space in a shit.
Right.
So I didn't know if it was, like, you know, one of those is, like, one planet blow up, you know, and then you throw in another one and or whatever, or whatever. Or if it's just kind of like an infinite, I mean, I guess they never run out. I don't know. With the lights, I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know.
But
I don't know.
Maybe I was thinking maybe Pabu has one of those giant Kyber crystals, but we've never seen ooze come out of a Kyber crystal before. So yeah, that doesn't really make sense. Yeah, I don't know. I think it is just green ooze. I think it's just
a character.
Fisher glowing. Yep. Yeah. Fisher glowing, and that thing ate him. I think that might be all.
Yeah, it's so
all
funny.
I'll go with.
I love the different ways we watch stuff, because the green ooze didn't even cross my mind as
it
being
was just
thing.
So jarring compared to the rest of the creature design, though. It was like matte color.
I noticed,
you know,
it,
like,
you know, like I like, for sure noticed it, but that's
yeah,
hilarious.
But I don't know. It was like completely different style.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. It just, the monster had a very...
It's very unique. We've never seen anything like it on Pabu. So, like, I...
Yeah.
I completely
and it's just,
know where you're coming
it,
from.
It didn't match the monster at all. And that's... It just stood out. But... And, again, I'm extra focused in on the creatures this season for whatever reason. I have a, you know, some...
I mean, they made it clear very early on that the Empire is testing on creatures and... You know, releasing them, and so, like, I mean, it makes sense. It's just, I mean, like, Pabu's just one little island on a bigger planet, so who knows, you know?
What if it's only one little island because the planet is no longer, it's just, you know, they flooded it. I don't know, like, it, I don't know, they you know, maybe destroying planets can happen in many ways. Maybe the Empire has already been here.
Pabu is a civilization that seemingly would have informed the Bad Batch. Yeah, this once was a planet like a couple years ago, and then the Empire came
Okay, this is true. Pabu, they've been around. This has been a safe haven for a little bit, I guess. Yeah, I guess that would be in memory, probably, if like, they were like...
If the Empire did it, because the Empire's like 2 years old, max. They're like, we can forget about that detail. It's fine. We'll just one day. Shep is talking to Hunter. He's like, you know what? I forgot to mention,
man. You guys, this crazy story. Someone brought it up the other day. It might be important for you guys to hear.
Forgot. Yeah.
But
it's
okay.
Like, shit, that's why we get those floods and stuff. Damn, that seems important. No.
Yeah, okay.
No, so like that's my thing, is that I think Pabu has been out of the reach of the Empire, and therein it's the creatures and stuff are like maybe something more there, like a character quirk about Pabu itself. Like maybe that is a resource that the Empire will become interested in, and that is why it's there, and that's how, you know, like, but
maybe
I don't think it's anything that the Empire already has going on.
Yeah. I was thinking more bad, but maybe I'm maybe thinking the good way. Maybe like these creatures cause the massive floods and tsunamis and stuff, not knowing it. It's just like when they travel, I don't know. And then like they can Omega can connect, like she actually connects with them. Maybe that's her force moment, you know, is she connects with something in nature and she connects and she's like, ah, like, hey, like, you know, you're causing so much damage to these people, and we can be peaceful and maybe you can help, but we can help you. I don't know, you know, sort of thing.
No, it was, it's an interesting episode, especially if they don't return to Omega's capabilities. You know, I mean,
they have to.
Yeah, dude. I would imagine so. I can't imagine. Like, I mean, we've got 6 episodes left.
With nature, like it connected. Like, I don't know. I loved that, and I think it's gonna happen. Hunter is the guy, you know. And we haven't been having really good moments with Hunter and Omega, and I think they're gonna have a strong, you know, maybe kind of. She will meditate. Crosshair's already trying to, you know, maybe Hunter will be like, you know what, I'm done making fun, you know, I'll just maybe join in with you guys. I don't know, maybe like we'll kind of just all maybe try to train together, you know, maybe because Hunter, I think his biggest fear is Omega leaving, is Omega wanting to train and leave, and because that if it is her decision, he knows he's going to have to let her go, even though right. He doesn't want to. And maybe he'll try his best to be like, no, we can all train together, you know, or I don't know, something. But maybe he just lets it alone. Maybe he just ignores it and sees what Omega does in the meantime.
Yeah, it seems. Yeah, it's tough to say where it'll go from here. You know,
I know.
I don't know where they go next. I don't know what's immediately pressing beyond getting off Pabu, you know, and the fact that we do have that double episode next week. Identity Crisis and Point of No Return?
Mm-hmm. Point of No Return. Yeah, that's... Identity Crisis, it seems that it's Omega. Seemingly, that's the obvious choice, you know?
I mean, I would...
Maybe the Batch themselves, you know, maybe it's a clone thing. You know, I think I said maybe something along the lines of it could be like a larger.
Yeah, it could be a larger clone thing. I think we're a little too close to it for that to be the case. There'd have to be a lot of stuff next episode for it to be that. Like, coming straight off this episode, Omega does make the most sense, you know. She does. I mean, shit, we could. Again, haven't read Dark Disciple, but if we're going to go with the idea that Asajj Ventress is this isn't a one and done, maybe it's her, you know, like she has an identity crisis. Does she want to help herself or does she want to help Omega? She has to make a choice. She helps them. It's the point of no return. You know, she's officially an enemy of the Empire. She announces herself, point of no return, you know, like, that could be really interesting. You know,
yeah, I guess the mere act of flashing a lightsaber somewhere is kind of enough to be like, hey, be Jedi spotted.
The Pabu.
Yeah, and the Empire. I guess it would have to be known, though. Like, it like you can't just, like, if Asajj, she did flash her lightsaber on Pabu, it wasn't a cave, but, like, even if she flashed it in Pabu around all of those people, the Empire wouldn't find out, because how's the word going to get out of that? There was a light, you know, everyone on Pabu stays on Pabu, you know, pretty much the word take it out. But like if you're in the middle of Coruscant and you know, that
different story.
Yeah. Death Wish right there. So I don't know. Maybe they have to go. Cause like Echo is still. Is he just looking for more intel or like, is he still off somewhere?
Yeah, they're still looking for Tantus. I take Echo to be doing. That's and I think that the other character that I could see having an identity crisis and then reaching a point of no return is Wolf. The clone we met earlier in the season who Rex convinced to stand down and let them escape. You know, maybe we have a clone-centered arc the next couple episodes where the Bad Batch isn't really in one of them, is in the other, you know, like sort of what we've done in previous seasons. I could see something like that.
Initially, I thought it was Crosshair when the season first started, like before we even got any episodes, I thought it would be Crosshair. And now, I don't know, it feels like Crosshair's kind of in a pretty comfortable spot. He still kind of needs some, you know, he's still got a little bit of a twitch going on every now and then, but he, I don't know, it, not an identity crisis, it would seem.
I think he's
that
there.
It would come from him.
I mean, maybe there's some sort of. I mean, maybe we go a layer
in there,
deeper.
You know, I guess maybe they do play on that, and it could be him. But
maybe we go a layer deeper. Maybe the Shadow Clone, the Shadow Trooper, is a perfect clone of Crosshair, but this Crosshair doesn't know that. And then he's introduced to him, and he doesn't know if he's the original Crosshair or this Crosshair, and that's the identity crisis.
Oh, fuck. Is the Shadow... Is this hand twitch? No, the real Crosshair had the hand twitch, right? Because of the one episode on the ice planet. Like, or did that show up?
I'm pretty sure that's new. I'm pretty sure that's a this season thing. I don't think that was a season two thing. Maybe it was. I don't know. But
how have I never... You know, the only other person to have like a thing specifically with that hand too, a glove over it, and he always holds it.
Yeah, Hemlock. Yeah, good point.
Dude, that's a fucking... That might be a clone right there. But if it is, right, if this is a clone and not our Crosshair, it might be the first showing
of
like a transfer of consciousness, because he still has all the memories and everything of Crosshair.
Yeah.
And he is actually like having moments like Crosshair would, and he's like I don't know. And Oh, fuck.
I think, but that's the thing,
too. He fought himself, dog. He was fighting himself.
Yeah, I mean, like, I think that is the most interesting idea for who the Shadow Trooper could be. Definitely better than Tech. I don't want it to be Tech at this point. I think that would suck.
That's way cooler. That is way cooler for it to be Crosshair. Oh, shit. Yeah. The hand thing Dude, that's weird. Hemlock, and that's never come around, ever. Why do they do that for him, you know? Off the moment they created his character, he's always grabbed his hand. He always has that glove on his hand. Why? It's never come around. Yeah. It's just a weird...
Maybe that is a connection to
something. He is just an evil guy, and maybe, you know, evil guys just always kind of have something to them. But, like... It's a weird... I don't know.
It's
maybe...
very specific, Twitch. That's why I'm like...
He's very ego to, you know, he would put his own, you know, he'd want to make, like, I feel like the reason that there would be a connection with the hand is that ideally he wants to transfer his own consciousness one day so he can live forever. You know, like, sure, I'll work for Palpatine and do all this stuff, but yes, this means that I can live forever too and transfer my consciousness. So, you know, when the time is right, I will take my research for myself, you know, like, I think he is loyal to Palpatine, but evil is, you know, power, you know, I think eventually when he sees that, he's going to be like, oh, okay. And maybe he's testing his DNA with clones, transfer of consciousness, Crosshair's this test.
And that's why I think that it, and frankly, I'm less keen on the idea that Crosshair is an example of the transfer of consciousness. I think they would have been keeping him in a separate facility. They would have been keeping him secluded, and like, he's an important test subject. And it would kind of just undermine the arc that Crosshair has gone on. So I'd prefer not. That doesn't change the fact that I do think that the Shadow Trooper could be a result of them attempting something like that. And I think it'd be more likely that the Shadow Trooper would be the one who has an identity crisis or, but I don't know. He knocks off Crosshair's helmet. He sees Crosshair. He beats the shit out of Crosshair. So, like, I don't know. It's tough to say. But,
Okay. Wow. Yeah, this, I don't know. Not, we're just on Pabu. Asajj came in, came out. That's it. You know, a little bit of Jedi talk.
I love Omega being like, "You saying that I could be a Jedi?" I loved the excitement that sparked within her. That was so cute.
What was the word? Weeping, and it was for a leaf.
Mm-hmm.
And the Kiner, they put out a tweet making me think Omega's going to be eaten by a, you know, or the whole team. I don't know. Why? Were we on DEFCON freaking 1? Or is that how that works? Is that the most...
Yeah, I think that is the highest.
The lower the number, you know, or whatever.
Lower the number. Like, DEFCON 1, we are in deep shit.
And we got kind of like a a very comfortable episode. You know, it was actually like I mean, the
Kiner tweet was a bit extreme. I think that reading into it too much. I mean, like, we got exactly what they tweeted.
Yes. I guess they weren't the ones who said weeping, right? That was just someone.
No, that was Jennifer Corbett. That was the writer, the main writer on the show, who said she would reveal one word from the script. Do with it what you will.
But if you're revealing one word from a script of an episode, I don't know.
Yeah, and they bait us. They do. They know what they're doing. They always do. Mm-hmm. It's never. Sometimes it is more meaningful. Sometimes it's not, which is why they're good at what they do. You know.
Guess they do want to market the show that they worked on. You know, at the end of the day, that does make sense. And the weeping definitely baits more attention than if they were just to say a weeping flower. You know, if or whatever. Like if I don't know if that's what it was called, the. Or if it was the weeping tree.
Yeah,
maybe?
The tree. It's something. But yeah, like, but there's certain things that they can say and they can't say. You know, like, I think what it does strike home that I think is really, really impressive about the showrunners and about this show is that it was more important to the writer to tweet something about weeping than it was to name drop like Jedi as the one word from the script, you know. Like, people were like, oh, weeping, oh fuck, you know. It wasn't like, get excited, this week we mentioned Jedi, you know. It was like, weeping, good luck, you know.
True.
And everyone was like, fuck, you know. And I think that that's something cool about the show, is that the showrunners understand the audience enough to know that that is as important to them as a Jedi or a Jedi mention or anything like that.
Yeah, I don't know. It feels that at least this is more tight knit, you know, or like more thought, more feeling goes into the Bad Batch.
And there's something effective about the fact that I love the little social media community of the Bad Batch Twitter. Like, I think it's really, really cool. And I love the way that the creators interact with people and talk to them and answer their questions to the best of their ability. And they're nice and vague. They know what they're doing. And that's the thing that's really cool about it, is those tweets aren't really to market it. Mm-hmm. They are to fuck with the people who already love the show.
Because I know if I was in their shoes. And I was you gotta imagine, like, a bunch of these people probably are Star Wars fans. Like, they are very, very happy to be working on Star Wars. And I know I would want to say so much, but I know I wouldn't be allowed to. So I would 100% try to drop as much, you know, just like little covert details that, I don't know. I would definitely do the same. So.
And I think that's what's cool, is that it's not something they have to do, and it's not something they're doing to market the show, because people who follow Jennifer Corbett on Twitter, they like the Bad Batch, you know? Like,
that's true.
I like Jennifer Corbett a lot, but it's because I like the Bad Batch, you know? Like, that's how I found Jennifer Corbett. Mm-hmm. So it's like, nobody is like,
yeah.
Oh shit, Jennifer Corbett tweeted this. Unless they already watched The Bad Batch, which I think is also very cool. Like, it is very personal. It is much more tight-knit. It's not like The Mandalorian, where that gets millions of more people watching it every week whenever it's on. So it's just, it feels so much smaller and so much tighter of a fandom.
Yeah.
And I really, really appreciate that. And that's why, like, Star Wars animation, it would be a fucking mistake to let that go. So I loved it. But before we get any further, let's do the plugs real quick. If you would, head to patreon.com/pennybloompod, where you'll find over 50 hours of exclusive content, all sorts of book reviews, comic book reviews, movie reviews, and the like. I'm even going to try to start writing about music a bit again. I've let my music listening habit slip in the last couple years, so I'm trying to get my numbers up and get back into the swing of things. So I'm hoping to write about some music here soon. over there on patreon.com/pennybloompod for $3 a month. You can support the podcast financially, which is huge because it costs me money and I don't make any off of it unless it's over there. Head to Twitter, follow at pennybloompod, follow on Instagram and TikTok at pennybloompodcast. Remember to leave a 5-star rate and review and download wherever you might be listening. It is very, very helpful, both reviewing and downloading. Love both of those things. I would love more reviews. Let us know. Let us know if you like it. If you don't let me know. I don't want to hear it.
don't be mean. Don't be mean, please. I have feelings.
I do. And we just try to be nice. That's all we try to do. So, you know, just be nice back. So with that, any last thoughts here on this episode?
I don't think so. I don't know. I was trying to spin a web maybe with this flower, but I think it was just Asajj just being like, yo, gotta leave.
Yeah, get the fuck out of here. I gotta talk to these boys.
Leave. They're gonna want to fight me, and you shouldn't be here for that. I don't think it was an actual test.
And that's what sucked. That's the test she passes.
Yeah, and, you know, insurmountable odds, this is impossible. There's no way I can do this. And Asajj
did it. Yeah.
Like, come on. Well, you're wasting time, you know, sort of thing. Like, I did kind of like that part of it, but, and she had to ask for help, you know, got Batcher, to go help her. And Asajj, knowing that that tree is up there, though, you know, she's just wise. She knows her stuff. But I don't know. It is interesting that in this tree, there's a lot of these flowers. They're all green, but then there's the singular white one. Omega picks it. She seems that she's like the one out of the million of whatever. So it felt very. It could just be that it's written, you know, poetry. It rhymes, whatever. Or Asajj is, you know, more purposeful, and it actually was sort of a something there. But
yeah, no, I mean, I enjoyed the episode a great deal. It was super comfortable. I loved it. I had a great time. Another one of those nice comfort episodes of The Bad Batch, and one of the nicer turns for Asajj Ventress. You know, she's extremely likable.
Yeah.
I loved Crosshair's characterization. He's becoming better and better every week. Ah, fuck, I froze again. God damn.
Damn Discord, man.
Ah, shit. I don't even know what happened that time. I didn't budge. I didn't do anything.
Yeah, I'm trying to be careful and budging my desk too now. Luckily, I have a sturdier table now. It's not my old desk, but yeah, it helps a little bit.
All right. Well, y'all are just going to look at a black screen for a second. I'm trying to fix it, but for those watching on video, which you can now, by the way. No, I think we got privileged to another great episode. I'm so very happy with what we got, and I'm so excited for what's to come. I think that we're only looking further and further into the future this season's going to culminate in a beautiful way, if I had to guess.
Oh, yeah. And now a different ending that I didn't even think of in the first place that I think I'm okay with. If it does go there, it'll break my heart. I don't know. It's one I didn't think of.
Shitty quality the rest of the episode. Fuck it.
It's better than nothing.
Yeah, my fucking cam. I hate it. It doesn't work. It is what it is. We're looking for an exciting culmination to the season, I have to say. Because, I mean, only 6 episodes left. 2 of them next week.
5 weeks. Yeah, only 5 weeks. And next week, who knows what we're in for, but the double episodes usually mean something goes down.
Typically, that is what it means. Usually
happens. And these titles point to that as well. I don't want to read too much into them because usually it ends up being something that we're not expecting at all. And I don't know, something just a little bit different. But I don't know. I'm having a great time with the show. It is just the second best Star Wars show there is. I think it's just that's how it is. Like it's not, you know, yeah. It's not over yet. I think it's just how it is. I don't.
Yeah, it would have to flop hard here at the end for it to,
yeah,
for me to feel any other way.
I'm trusting that they end the show well. You know, I guess I am trusting them there. But as of right now, I think I am there. If they do keep the steam going the way they are. But I'm kind of scared for next week, not going to lie. I think I don't know, maybe the weeping was, you know, a little precursor. Like, you know, you won't weep now, but just wait for next week. Because, I don't know. Seems that some heavy emotional things will occur.
I would imagine so. I don't think we're in for anything light in the weeks to come, as far as just the big beats, you know. But yeah, I loved the show. I love this show. I loved this episode, and it was another goodie. But I don't think I have anything else to say on it. But yeah.
You're there. Yeah, very simple one.
Mm-hmm. We'll be back next week. We'll be back with the double episode, season 3, episodes 10 and 11. I'm very excited to do that one for y'all, and I can't wait to see what it has in store. We'll be back with Winter is Blooming, our Game of Thrones rewatch podcast on Monday, where we will be covering season 8, episode 4. It's the beginning of the end.
April Fools. You know, kind of funny. Yeah, kind of funny it fell on April Fools, the start of the downfall. But, you know, show's got to end sometime, I guess. You know, we had to get something.
Yeah, it happened. Happened the way it happened, and we talked about the way it happened over there. Season 8, episode 4 on Monday for Winter is Blooming. If you've watched Game of Thrones, you can rejoice with us as we near the end of the shit show at the end there. And that's a super exciting little series of episodes coming up for you. So Monday is Game of Thrones. Next Wednesday, we've got The Green Knight coming up for our Dev Patel Actor Spotlight. And I'm so very excited for you guys to hear that one. We already recorded it. We watched the movie. We fucking loved it. Comfortable spoiling that for you. You can go ahead and check it out. Check out the movie this weekend. Go ahead and listen to us talk about it next Wednesday. And then go see Monkey Man in theaters here in a week. That would be super cool. I hope that one's a huge success, because we'll be covering it the Wednesday after to wrap up our Dev Patel Spotlight. So Fridays, Bad Batch; Mondays, Thrones; and here on these next couple Wednesdays, Dev Patel. So we're nearing the end of all three of them, and it's kind of bizarre to feel that way. You know, I feel like for several weeks I've been like, this is what we're doing for a while, and now all of them are getting closer and closer to the end here.
Been so scheduled, and now we're so free. I don't know. It's
we were so structured.
Weird.
Now we get to cover just guys. I'm so excited for the end of April into May. After the Bad Batch concludes, we do nothing but movies Monday, Wednesday, Friday for a good month, and I am so excited for that. I love covering movies, so we got a big movie month in May. Action movie May. Anya Taylor May, you know, that's what I'm excited for. But with that, I was Colton Robertson. I was joined by Joseph George. Thank you very much, homie.
Oh, thank you for having me. It's always a pleasure to be here.
Oh, and it's always a pleasure to have you. And remember, peace, love, and bloom, and always praise the Bad Batch.